Chapter 24, The Prophet Pleading for His People. Uppermost in Jeremiah's thought was the welfare of his people. If they supposed that his severe condemnations indicated a lack of interest in them, they utterly misunderstood him. He suffered continually terrible struggles of soul, sometimes hoping to secure their repentance, again despairing of receiving any response. Often he would spend long periods in prayer, wrestling as it were with God. We must not think, of course, of the people really arguing with God, but these struggles represent the agony of spirit through which he was passing. At one moment he hoped that his people could be saved. At another moment he felt convinced that it was impossible. This condition was particularly manifest on the occasion of a serious drought that befell the land. Drought was always a calamity in Judah, but this drought seemed to be especially severe. To Jeremiah's sensitive spirit, it seemed a peculiar visitation from God, and it made him struggle again over the question of whether his people could ever be delivered. We realize the poetic power of Jeremiah, his keen sympathy not only with man, but even with the beasts, when we read his lament over the thirsty land. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They sit in black upon the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up, and their nobles send their little ones to the waters. They come to the cisterns and find no water. They return with their vessels empty. They are put to shame and confounded and cover their heads. Because of the ground which is cracked, for that no rain hath been in the land, the plowmen are put to shame, they cover their heads. Yea, the hind also in the field calveth and forsaketh her young, because there is no grass. And the wild asses stand on the bare heights. They pant for air like jackals. Their eyes fail because there is no herbage. The sense of the great misfortune so weighs upon the prophet that he breaks forth in supplication. Though our iniquities testify against us, work thou for thy name's sake, O Jehovah, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. And yet he knew that the people would not join in his prayer. They might indeed make petition that the drought should be ended, but they had no serious thought of turning back to God. So there seemed to come answer to his own prayer only in the feeling that it was no good praying for Judah. It is his terrible conviction of his people's obstinacy. And Jehovah said unto me, Pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and meal offering, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. If the priests and the prophets had not been involved in the common iniquities, there might have been some hope, but they were the leaders in all the immorality. Jeremiah could see nothing but destruction. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold they that are sick with famine, for both the prophet and the priest go about in the land and have no knowledge. But such a man as this patriot prophet could not be content with a single struggle of soul. It had seemed hopeless to him to pray. He was sure of the inevitable doom, and yet with a great reaction he returned to his first feeling and broke forth into prayer again. He felt that there must be some way for Judah to come back to God. There must be some way for the great destiny that the prophets had once pictured to be fulfilled. He broke forth again in supplication. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of healing, and behold, dismay. We acknowledge, O Jehovah, our weaknesses and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Of course, it was folly for anyone to pray to the idols, the vanities of the nations, as Jeremiah called them. The prophet's supplication was to him who alone could end the drought and bring the rain. Are there any among the vanities of the nations that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Jehovah our God? Therefore we will wait for thee, for thou hast made all these things. But again, as before, the sense of the uselessness of praying for his degenerate people came upon him. The answer of God declared that not even the greatest of the prophets could prevail. Then said Jehovah unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And then there followed to his consciousness again the dreadful certainty of the destruction that was coming. And it shall come to pass, when they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, Thus saith Jehovah, Such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for captivity, to captivity, and I will appoint over them four kinds, saith Jehovah, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. Jeremiah finally realized that this prayer in the national calamity was of no avail. He was praying, but nobody else cared to pray. He was alone, and he gave up the attempt as useless, feeling that Judah was hopelessly rebellious. Thou hast rejected me, saith Jehovah. Thou art gone backward. Therefore have I stretched out my hand against thee and destroyed thee. I am weary with repenting. Then another wave of feeling passed over Jeremiah's soul. In bitter sorrow, he wondered why he should have been chosen to make this sad address. He wished that he had never been born. How gladly he would have been a man of peace, dealing gently and kindly with all whom he met. But it seemed as if his hand must be against his brethren. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have not lent, neither have men lent to me, yet every one of them doth curse me. Of course, as a result of Jeremiah's declarations, he was very generally disliked. Again and again he was arrested. Constant annoyances were heaped upon him. Even to this day it is customary to call him a pessimist, and so to misinterpret his great heart and his great vision. It is little wonder that sometimes his patience failed him, and he broke forth into a complaint against the treatment which he received. O Jehovah, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and avenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered reproach. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Jehovah, God of hosts. He was a man who would gladly have joined in the social meetings of his people, would gladly have enjoyed the happiness of home and fellowship, but he was compelled to be a lonely man. And so in this hour of anguish he complained in his prayer of the hardness of his lot. I sat not in the assembly of them that make merry, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. But there always came, in such times of soul struggle, the assurance that he was right. He never doubted that God had commissioned him and that it was his duty to his people. He never doubted either that he would be able to stand against their opposition. He knew what serious persecutions might come upon him, but he had the assurance in his soul that he would be preserved for his great task. And I will make thee unto this people a fortified brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith Jehovah. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible.